Hi, everybody. This is Moco's Most Famous. I'm Joe Yashroff with Montgomery Community Media. We've been on hiatus for a few weeks, but we are back with a flourish today. We're actually taking the show on the road. We're at the William H.G. Fitzgerald Tennis Center in D.C., site of the 51st City Open, and we have the man, Mark Ein, who is, you know, as an investor, entrepreneur, philanthropist, owner of the Castles, and now is running the show, is heading everything at the City Open. Mark, welcome to Moco's Most Famous. How you doing?
Guys, great to be here. Thank you. And this means a lot to me because I'm a local kid from Chevy Chase who used to be a ball kid at this tournament. And so, you know, this is it's really an incredible week, and you never know how life's going to end up in twists and turns. But to sort of be in a position to help shape this event for our community is really an incredible tumbling, and it's an incredible honor. So it's really great to be here with you, Joe.
Yeah, well, great to have you here. And I was going to ask you about being a ball boy. So, yeah. I mean, back then, yeah. Obviously you weren't thinking about running the show here back then. So when you were a ball boy back then, what were you thinking about?
I was just so happy to be around the tournament. It was like the highlight. I wouldn't say the highlight of the summer. It's like the highlight of the year. That one week to be so close to the players, and I love tennis, and you know, I probably thought ultimately if my involvement in a tournament, I probably thought I'd be a player or hoped I'd be a player, but since that didn't happen, at least we got it this way. And it just was, I don't know, just like it's why I think pro sports are so important to a community and they're so important to that sport is you get a chance to touch kids, and some of the kids will end up being the next Francis Tiafoe or Dennis Kudla. Who go on to be a pro, and some kids will be me who don't, that's not their path, but you come back, right. And you have a lifelong engagement with the game. And so I definitely would never have thought this could happen when I was a kid, but I'm really glad it worked out this way.
So you talked about you being a player. You were a pretty good player. You played at BCC and beyond. So how good of a player were you?
I mean, I was all right. I was captain of the team and number one at BCC, but it was kind of an off year. Most of the people who had that before and after me went on to be really high-level college players, which I didn't. But I just love this game. You know, it's the game itself is really enjoyable. But I also think that the lessons you learn on the court stay with you for your life. And, you know, obviously most of my life, as you mentioned, has been in business and an investor. And, there's a bunch of times where you're facing situations and you draw upon the things you learned on the tennis court as a kid, the problem solving, self-reliance, discipline, toughness, resilience. They're all great lessons you learn on the tennis court. And so it's why I'm so passionate about promoting this game for young people.
You've been successful at so many different things, including being owner of the Castles, only the best team in world team tennis. Six titles, five in a row, longest streak not only in tennis but in all of sports.
Yeah.
So when you take things on, you don't take things on just to do them. Am I right in saying that?
I'd say that most people would probably, who know me, say yes, that's true. I mean, to me, the fun in taking on things is doing them really well. It's the pursuit of excellence and the feeling of satisfaction. I have to say, this tournament, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, has been an extraordinary amount of work, really indescribable amount of work by so many people. And when you get here and you look and everything you dreamed and imagined and fought to make happen comes to life, probably even better than you could have imagined, but then you see almost 8,000 people here in your community enjoying it, that's what makes this all really special. And what I've learned in all the things I've done is what really touches people is when they see things done at the highest level, you know? And that's why people love the great athletes, great tennis players. It's why they love going to the great events. It's why certain companies do well. And so for me, that's the motivation, is to figure out how to bring a team of people together and do things as good as they can possibly be done.
We're recording this in the media center on a Sunday of the tournament. This is the Sunday before the actual main draw. Yet, if you look around, you wouldn't know that the main draw hasn't started. Attendance yesterday on a Saturday was up 20% today. I don't know if the figures are in yet, but it feels like the tournament has started. But yet, it hasn't officially started. So how did you accomplish that?
I mean,
how did everybody accomplish that?
I mean, today is manned at being a sellout. We only had 200 tickets left as of this afternoon. I mean, complete sellout for qualifying Sunday.
Wow.
And so it's really extraordinary. I think it's a lot of things coming together. Obviously, we have a really good field, and having Coco Gauff here is a big draw, so people are excited about Coco. But I also say the reason that Coco came is because her family wanted to come to D.C., and they love D.C. They had heard good things about the tournament, but they also from the past, but they heard what we were doing. I think that was one of the reasons they decided to come here. So, but thank goodness she did, because she's great, and it's gotten a lot of, generated a lot of excitement. And then I think people, the word got out that this is going to be a different level of experience. And if you love tennis, you're going to get to see Coco Gauff and other unbelievable players. And if you only like tennis, you're going to be able to stroll around and have great food and great drinks and have a fantastic day out. And so all that coming together has led 2 days into absolutely mind-boggling outcomes.
So you talked about Coco Gauff, 15 years old. She is the latest sensation in tennis. We saw what she did at Wimbledon. I was actually lucky enough, I'm sure you were there too, but I was at that match where she beat Venus Williams. And, you know, if you didn't know she was 15, you'd probably guess she was 30 because she's so calm and composed. And she beat Venus in straight sets, and that's when the mania started. Are you more impressed with her on the court or off the court? Tough question.
That's a tough question because she's so impressive both. I actually think that they go hand in hand. I think her ability to compete and her demeanor on the court and the reason she's been so successful, and I imagine any of us at 15 years old dealing with what she's dealt with. And I think the same traits that made her able to deal with the competition are the same things that make her so impressive off the court. In media, you watch her press conferences, she's like a pro. You can't believe she's 15. But it's the same person who's out there on the court, center court in D.C. or center court at Wimbledon in front of the world, excelling. And that's why I think people have such high hopes for her. You know, a lot of young players come and have flashes of brilliance, and it never leads to anything. But with her, just her maturity and her presence, I think, is what makes people think this could be, she could be one of the greats.
So this is the 51st edition of the City Open. It's been called lots of things. It's been the City Open the last few years. This is the 50-year anniversary. You've come in and you've changed some things. You want to enhance the experiences. How are you, you use the word reimagining.
Yeah.
How are you reimagining this?
Yeah, and that's what sort of our tagline for the week was, Washington Summer Tennis Tradition Reimagined, because, and each word was carefully thought of. It's about Washington. It's very much a summer thing. It's obviously about tennis, and it's an amazing tradition here. But what we wanted to do is reimagine what it could be and take this fantastic event that's been here for 5 decades and think about how to make it better. And so every single element of what we did, we said, let's not just do it the way it was in the past. Let's see if there's a way not just to do it differently, but better. And as it turned out, on virtually every single piece of it, I think we found ways to make it better. And some are small and people don't see, and some are very profound. So the biggest is the food. One of the things about a tennis tournament is people are going to be out here for 5 or 6 hours. They'd love to be here 5 or 6 hours, but you got to give them good food and good drinks. And so we completely overhauled that part of this and brought in Levy, who does the master concessions for the U.S. Open and Indian Wells, but then brought in local partners, Jose Andres, Duke's Grocery, Dolcezza, Ice Cream Jubilee, Founding Spirits, and brought them in. And so you really have the best restaurants in D.C. serving you food here. But none of that would be enough if you didn't have areas for people to go. So up until this year, if you were a VIP, you had a nice air-conditioned tent to go to. And if you're a general fan, you were outside in the swelt, you know, in the hot sun or whatever. And so we built a massive new food pavilion called Market Square, which has a bar in the center, those great restaurants. We've got a program where people can watch music, and we've had all the draws in there, made them open to the public, which has been really fun. Kids come up and get to draw the players. We're gonna have tennis talks with Renee Stubbs every night at 6 o'clock. So really activate the space. And you know that when we first put that up, obviously we had these dreams of what it could be. And we were not sure people would know where to go because it's the opposite side of the stadium for where that people would go for food. So we were really worried how long would it take for people to find it. And the minute we opened the doors, it was jammed. I mean, the lines out the door. And so that has been just fantastic. And then we have Jose's Way, so a whole corner of the stadium dedicated to Jose's concepts. And on the other side, an Amstel Light Beer Garden, which is great. So those are the big things. But then we've addressed the parking a bit to make that better. There was a lot of issues. So I think we've made it a lot better. We added a Moe Stadium Club, so there's now people will see inside the stadium a suite where you can watch the matches, mm-hmm. indoor air conditioned, drink free champagne. That's open to anyone who wants to buy a ticket for that, so that's great. The merchandise, like I'm a personal, like I still have t-shirts from when I was a kid, and yeah, I think in this event that's usually been an afterthought, but we got best in class partners there, so I've seen people all over the grounds already wearing that, which is great. And then we really also, you know, you can have more influence over the player field too than you would think. And we took a very different approach. Instead of going out and recruiting one huge player and then a couple others, we went and said, instead of that, let's go out and recruit a very deep field. And so we did that. We put a huge emphasis on doubles. So we went out and recruited doubles teams. We literally had a time of conversation with somebody who's deep in the tennis where he said it's the best doubles draw he's ever seen at a tournament of this level in the world.
I agree. I mean, not to interrupt you, but you got the best doubles team of all time, the Bryan brothers.
Yeah.
Then you take Jamie Murray, one of the best doubles players in the world, and you get his brother, whose name is Andy Murray, to play with him.
That's cool. Heard of that guy.
And then maybe the most interesting one is the Nick Kyrgios, let me see if I can pronounce his name, Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Yes.
Close enough, right? That's going to be interesting with their personalities alone, right? And then not to mention Jack Sock, who won a major with one of the Bryan brothers when the other one was hurt, with your guy, Leander Paes, who's 46 years old, and one of the great doubles players of all time.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
That, you know, we spent a lot of time sort of trying to make all that happen.
Mm-hmm.
All those teams you just mentioned are unseeded.
Really?
So we have the all top 10 players in the world, and then those four unseeded teams. And the Andy Murray thing was great because, you know, Andy had a little bit of a rough time here last year, as was pretty well known.
Yep.
And I talked to his mom in March and said, we're going to take this over. And one of my real hopes is we can get Andy back. And we got a call last week saying he'd like to come back. And I was so happy. And I've seen him. He's happy. He's noticed all the changes. He thinks this is fantastic. And so having Andy back is great. But the doubles is great. And then we just announced on the women's doubles side that Coco Gauff's playing main draw doubles too.
That's great.
So she's going to be here. She keeps winning. She's going to be here all week. So I love doubles. It's what fans love. I think it often doesn't get elevated enough in our sport. And in this tournament,
so much fun. I mean, people, tennis, hardcore tennis fans love doubles, but non-hardcore don't get it and don't think it's anything special.
Yeah.
But if they just watch one match, they'll see the rat-a-tat.
Totally.
And it's just a lot of fun.
Totally. So you're going to see doubles on the main court too, which is non-traditional. But
I want to get back to Andy Murray because that's a big deal. Last year he was played a match until 3 o'clock. I was here for that. I was one of 12 people who stayed for that one, and he was not happy afterwards.
Yeah.
And if you had to put Vegas odds that he was going to be back next year, it would have been zero.
Yeah.
How the heck did you get Andy Murray to come back?
You know, you described the situation right. I'd love to say that we went, you know, I told you I had a conversation with his family many months ago, but nothing came from it. We got the doubles entry list, and I noticed that there was one member of the top 10 not in, which is Jamie Murray, and he's playing on tour now with one of the Skupski brothers. He's playing team tennis, so I knew that was an issue. I was trying to think about who I could put Jamie with, and then we got a call from Andy's team who said he'd like to come. He's ready to play doubles, and again, I appreciate their openness to give us another chance. He had heard about the things we were doing.
Great.
The family knows me. And so they initiated it, and we obviously welcomed it with open arms.
How long did it take you to say yes when they said
yeah, they didn't
like
finish
it?
The sentence. No. There's a little negotiation in all these things.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that, wasn't instantaneous,
sure.
But the notion that we wanted to try to do it was something
well,
that was
great.
Easy to decide.
And then for local fans, you mentioned Francis Tiafoe, Big Foe, I guess is his nickname.
Yes, it is.
You know, last year I think he couldn't play because he was playing in Mexico, or maybe that was two years ago. But he is one of the young guns on tour. I mean, that's exciting, I'm guessing, for you personally to see the local guy playing.
Well, Andy's my buddy.
Yeah.
I love him. I've known him since he was a little kid. Yeah, that's, again, what makes this. And this tournament's had this tradition for a long time. You know, you had the Paul Goldsteins before who would come here and play. And you've had Dennis Kudla here who got his first break here in Francis. Yesterday we had Andrew Fenty, the mayor's former son, who almost pulled off an incredible upset in the first round of qualifying. And again, it's another thing about having a tournament in your hometown. You can give breaks to these young people who may take that. On the women's side, we have a ton of local people who got wild cards and other stuff for playing. you give them a break and you never know what's going to happen. Sure. And this was the tournament that gave Francis his first shot. Now he's, you know, he's been top 30 in the world. He's top 40. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't be happier. I was just literally, he couldn't get near the practice courts. He was just practicing with Felix, Ogier, Alyasim. And it was mania over there. It was crazy.
And you mentioned Felix. I was going to ask you. Yeah. He's a Canadian teenager.
Yeah.
And he could be the next big thing in tennis. So for fans looking for players other than the ones we've talked about, he is a guy that you want to watch now because he's
totally.
Could be the
next
big
was
thing.
Another one that back in Indian Wells in March, I said I really want to try to get him, and so we did it early. And he's had a great run, and I love him. And again, he's got a great game, great personality, but he's also got a great demeanor and mindset, so he has an amazing potential.
Another couple quick questions, because I know you have to do City Open things. So you took this on, and it sounds glamorous, and it is glamorous, but there's a lot of non-glamorous things. You got a lot of stuff, problems here, problems there. How do you deal with all those problems?
We have a great team, so we have an awesome team of people who are incredibly dedicated to this, and that without that, it's impossible. So that starts with that. And then I just have to keep thinking. At this point, frankly, it's really been endless nights and days and weekends for all of us. But when you get this close to the event, actually, oddly, there's less. I mean, there's a lot that comes up, but there's less big things that you can impact because it's happening. You can't build new things, you know. And so I love it. It's great. I just spend my day walking around, listening to people, talking to people. Problems come up. You get the team together, you communicate, and you problem solve, and it makes it fun. So to me, this is the fun part.
So what is so as a former ball boy, as a former BCC tennis player, you're walking around, and you must be thinking, wow, this is, you've done a lot of cool things in your life, but this has to be kind of up there on your list of cool things.
It is. And I have to say, Joe, I didn't even think about how I would feel coming into this. But it's been even more special than I could have imagined. It really is. And just thinking about my long history, I mean, I grew up really close to here, and I remember driving here when I was a kid or being driven here to have my mom pick me up. And so that's incredible. But truly what gives me the most, you know, if I get a lump in my throat, it's actually less my story. It's more just seeing all the people in our community having such a good time, so energized by this event. I mean, they're nice enough to come up and say how much they appreciate it. But, you know, to me, the great thing about sports is it's an amazing unifying force and connective tissue in a community. It is one of the things with music that brings people together who usually aren't together. And when it works, like this is working, you see the result of it. And we could all use more things that bring us all together. And fortunately, the City Open is going to be one of those things.
And one of the connective tissues of the community is the WTES. Yeah. I mean, this tournament for years has raised money, and that's such a big part of this tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So they're the main beneficiary. It's a great organization.
Washington Tennis and Education
Foundation, and they use the sport of tennis to educate kids, and they serve a lot of kids. And we're really happy that a lot of the, you know, a lot of resources go to them as a result of this. And they've been a great partner for us. I think it's pretty well known that the tournament, they had to sell the tournament for a variety of reasons. And they had a lot of offers from all over the world. Some that I know were higher prices than me, but they work with us to find a way to keep it here. And as much as we were part of it, they were part of it too, because they came up with a way that they could justify keeping it here. And I think it was smart because they're going to benefit from this forever. But they were been a wonderful partner, not just in saving it, but now in taking it to the next level.
My last question to you, I've always wanted to ask you this question. Do you sleep at all?
Oh, gosh. I will after this is over. I'm going to take a little break, but generally not that much. But it's okay. If you know, it's the old expression, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And that's sort of how I feel my whole life is. So this is, you know, I couldn't imagine anything more fun than reimagining the City Open. And now that we've seen what it's become, it proves it was all worthwhile.
Mark Ein, I'm going to shake your hand.
Thanks,
even though
Joe.
This is just audio, I really appreciate you taking
the
time. Mark Ein, thank you so much for being with us on Moco's Most Famous on Montgomery Community Media. David Berman, thank you for coming in on a Sunday. And we'll see you all next time on Moco's Most Famous.